Martin.
Present.
Dupree.
Here.
Sandunias Lopez.
Here.
Marevsky.
Here.
Vice Chair Randall.
Here.
And Chair Allen is absent.
Ms. Cochran, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number two is public comment. Members of the audience may comment on any item of interest to the public within the subject matter of jurisdiction of the commission. Each person will be allowed 3 minutes or less if a large number of requests are received on a particular subject. No action may be taken on non-agendized items raised under public comment until the matter has been specifically included on an agenda item, on an agenda as an action item. Members of the audience wishing to address a specific agendized item are encouraged to offer their public comment during consideration of that item. If you wish to address the commission during the meeting, please complete a speaker card and give it to the city clerk prior to the consideration of the agenda item. I don't have anyone signed up for public comment, so we'll move on to item number three. Approval of December 15, 2009 regular meeting and December 30, 2009 special meeting minutes.
On page five, at the bottom, second to last paragraph, the last sentence is Lopez supported by district should be from.
It says, and all except Johnson and Lopez supported by district elections. So it's...
His little speech.
Any other proposed amendments to the minutes? Is there a motion to approve the minutes for both meetings?
I find the agenda motion because I need to abstain from the 7:30 because I wasn't here.
Well, the problem is if everyone abstains from the minutes for the December 30 meeting, we won't be able to approve the minutes for the December 30 meeting because there isn't a quorum at that meeting.
How does that go then? Can you approve minutes that you aren't even there for?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. I take that.
I will. Commissioner Lopez and I can attest that there was no meeting that night, as can a few of the folks out there, and our city attorney who came back from vacation for the meeting. You're withdrawing your amendment to the motion. Is there a second to Commissioner Lopez's motion?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? All right. The motion passes. Item number 4.1, discuss content and format of final report to City Council on January 13, 2010. Mr. Dosrys, you want to address that?
What I put together was an annotated version of our version, the shortened version. So, after I put it together on the red line, I realized it would probably be better to have it on the final version as opposed to the red line, but I ran out of time. I wanted to at least get this one for the meeting. So, Commissioner Allen was drafting a letter, as I recall. I haven't seen it, so I don't know the status of that. But I would imagine that in conjunction with the City Council's version, our version, and perhaps, I don't know if we want to, maybe probably our annotated version as well. I just wouldn't want to muddy the waters, but so they could have it and at least see the whys as to our changes.
I'm kind of opposed to the alternative with the rationale, because I would hope that this commission, whatever the final charter we hand to the city council, should not have our disagreements or who agreed, who not agreed, that our final charter proposal to the council should be with the thought that we are all unanimous of what the final product is.
Can I address that?
Yeah. Well, the reason that, going off memory, the reason that we were going to submit to was because we were tasked by the city council to come up with a charter based on their direction, which is the 15-page or 16-page document. That's fulfilling our mission. We took it upon ourselves to say, we've done what you asked. We don't like that one. This is what we would do based on our interaction with the public and based on our feelings as to the contents of the charter. So if we give them just our version, then we have completely disregarded what we were originally tasked to do. And that's why we, in my opinion, we need to submit both. And if we submit just their version, then we were nothing more than secretaries taking orders for the last year, 2 years, to do something that they could have accomplished probably in a week with the transcription.
In the original discussion with the city council, they gave us very clear direction, yes. And they said to make it our own, to give it our flair. And yes, there has been some disagreement in what we wrote. But ultimately, they said, you know, if we were to take the initiative and write something, that this commission would say we're behind, 100%. So keeping that in mind, yes, there's some things that they liked and, you know, we didn't like. I really think we should just take that initiative and say, this is the charter we wrote that we are behind. And we took your word when you initially said, write this charter, which you feel the citizens would be behind. And so, you know, just keeping that in mind, I really think that we should just take it. Ultimately, the council is going to alter it to suit their needs. And that's their prerogative, but I really think as a commission we should take that whole stance and say this is what we believe in.
So you're suggesting a shorter version?
Yeah.
I would agree with Commissioner Santeja. The city council is more than capable of taking what we gave them last time and making the few little changes that they wanted. I think that we give them one article saying this is what we, the Charter Commission, came with. If you don't like it, write it however the way you want it, because that seems to be what you're going to do anyway. But this is what we unanimously agree is what should be. And if the city council wants to decide that they're not going to listen to us, if they decide that they're going to not listen to the public outreach that we've received, well, then that's on them. But to give them two, saying it basically comes across as, well, we think this one's okay, and we think that one's okay. And I think that gives confusion, and it gives the city council too much wiggle room to just pick one, saying, well, this is what the commission gave us. I think that we need to give them what we think is in the best interest of the city, and if they want to make something else, then it's on them. But I think they're quite capable of doing, you know, the secretarial work that they asked us of last time. I think I agree with Commissioner Sandejas. Give them what we want and let them decide whether they take it or not.
Mr. Maresky, do you have any thoughts?
I agree that obviously we're on different sides, so you know, I don't agree with this charter at all, but as it says, but that's neither here nor there. The majority, I think we do need to go with one. I believe we do need to stand and say, hey, this is what the charter's come up with, the commission has come up with, and this, that's what we need to bring to them. We need to stand up and say, hey, this is what we got, and sign the man up and turned over, and that's our job. That's what we've been tasked with, and we may not all agree on everything, but we need to send it forth.
Commissioner Martin, any thoughts?
Well, I just, for clarification. For clarification, I thought originally that the concern had to do with the annotations. Am I correct? Delineating some of the changes?
Yes, it was, they go with the initial shorter version that we came up with two meetings ago.
Right.
And so, since we seem to be more motivated when we made these initial changes two meetings ago, that's the one I am feeling that would be the best one to put forward.
Okay, so I'm...
But without the comments.
Okay, so disregarding the comment from this version, where it shows the strikeout in the underline, or are you wanting it without even showing that, just showing the approved text? I'm trying to understand.
I would say, for me, the way I'm taking this is the approved text that we put down.
Okay.
But it's a shorter version of that.
So, for example, like on page 3 where it shows the strikeout, you're saying don't
yes.
show the strikeout, but just show what the information being presented is.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with that.
Let me, just for clarity, I know some of the folks in the gallery might not understand what we're doing. We have 3 documents in front of us. One is the charter, or is the city council's version of the charter. The alternative is the charter commission's version of the charter. And then the third is a hybrid document in yellow that includes comments and strikeouts that kind of attempt to reflect the 2 documents in one. Am I describing?
Essentially, that was forwarded by Commissioner Dos-Reese, what's in yellow.
You want to explain the yellow a little better for us, Commissioner?
The yellow is our version, the shortened version, annotated in red line. That's why it's so long. It's because it's a red line version. So it's the red line version of ours, the shortened version, annotated. So it's no different than our version. The only difference is it's annotated.
And it's reflecting the changes as we went through it.
Red line.
So that somebody else could see what were the recent changes made.
Right.
Without just looking at the finished product and then having to go back.
It's a red line with the changes I accepted. Now, as far as like which version, I'm all for submitting just our 7-page shortened version, the final accepted version. I think with it, at a very minimum, we need to submit the annotated version. The whole reason for that is simply with any laws as it's drafted, courts will often look to the legislative history. If the law is not 100% clear, they'll look to the legislative history to find out why did the legislature do what they did? How did they come to their conclusion? What do they mean to accomplish when they put this paragraph in? That's what the purpose of the annotations are for. So when the city council gets this 7-page version, which is a third the length of their preferred document, and they look and say, why in the world did they strike out Section 6? They can look at the annotations, and it tells them exactly why we struck Section 6. So there's no question in their minds, and then they at least can look through our rationale and agree with our rationale or disagree, but at least they know what we were thinking, as opposed to just going willy-nilly with the red line.
I have one question about the red line. What did you use as a base? Did you use what we originally gave the city council a couple months ago, or did you give what the city council asked of us and then use that as a base?
It was the same version that we created ours from and redlined December 15th.
The one that was kicked back. The council's version.
So it is the amended version. So it's the council's amended version, which is, so basically this will say, here was what your version is, and this is how we changed it. So
no, but what I would suggest, if we do submit our final version with the annotated version,
mm-hmm.
that we not submit the annotations on a red line, we submit it on the final.
Right. I would agree. I like that idea much more.
Okay, that's okay. So
if I understand it, what he's saying is if we all look at the 7-page version of the document.
Right.
He's going to take those annotations that are currently in the margin under the comments.
Okay.
And they will be inserted into our document without all of the redlining, which just.
Without the strike down.
The brief, it will be the brief charter with an explanation of why each section was written.
With the comments.
The comments.
With just the comments.
But without all the redlined strikeout.
Okay, that's fine. My only question is, what did we use as the base? Did we use our October version as the base, or did we use the post-city council amended version as the base?
I think what he's saying is the base is going to be the December 15th Charter Commission Charter.
Which was?
The base for the yellow document.
Right.
Was the September city council version of the charter. The base for what we're going to hand over is the Charter Commission 7-page document.
No, that I get.
Which is that red line, with the red lines accepted.
Right.
Basically. So they're the same.
I got you.
So group document is the same.
So I have a question or a concern, that if you're including the comment on the final document, one of the things that I was looking at is there is on page 3, language changes to the section were done in light of repeated public demand by the citizens of the city for the brevity of the charter. How many citizens? When was this done? I mean, this to me, the comment is very general in itself. And so are we leaving it open to the city council to come back and say, well, how many did you talk to? Was it 10? Was it 15? Was it 250? And you know how we've been down that road recently. Are we setting ourselves up for another type of discussion?
Well, I mean, I could say I've had more comments to shorten the charter than I have to make it longer. So does it, I mean, Councilman Cooper was all about numbers, but, you know, at the end of the day, if you have 10 that have asked to shorten it and none asked to make it longer, you know, I mean, trying to sit here and peg a number to that, I think, one, in the crux of what we're tasked with and our authority and our time frame, it's an impossibility, and so to even attempt that would be an exercise in futility.
So we kept it,
the comment to show that we, again, that we didn't just pull it from the air, that there is a reason.
I think the comment has some value because the reality is, I think it's, if the council wants to reflect back how many people said shorten it, I almost think the response is, the question itself is a silly question because, I mean, who has anyone in this city said the document is not, the 21-page version, has anyone heard that people like it? It's the right length, it's the right ease of reading. I mean, that's the number one, regardless of where you stand on any of the major issues, the number one comment we've heard is, it's too long, it's too complicated, we don't understand it. Frankly, I think if a council member wants to criticize us on that particular comment, it's a council member who's just looking for something to throw rocks at and is not really interested in the merits. Commissioner Martin?
Well, I have a question because I thought we also discussed the brevity in relation to making it appeal to a broader audience and decreasing confusion and, fewer points. Are better in terms of hitting a broader market, and you decrease the risk of, alienating a group or having someone vote no simply because they're opposed to one of the 40 pieces versus, one of the 7. I thought that was sort of some of the discussion that was also had in terms of we're not just doing this just to have something reflect our intentions, but also to appeal to the public. We want to minimize the risk of the failure. Am I just misremembering? Because I think that's a part of it also. And I think you can't cast stones, if you will, at the reasoning behind it if there's sort of a preamble about wanting to appeal to the broader base of the voters and have something that met the, your direction of the city council, while also can appeal to and meet the needs of the citizens. So maybe what I'm suggesting is that maybe this can be expanded just a bit to reflect more than just the one reason for the brevity, but the appeal to the masses. That's a thought.
Yeah, I think, I've talked to the chairman about the letter that he's writing. I think that he's going to do a pretty good job of giving kind of the, I like to call it the global, the air traffic controller view of the airport, why all these parts are moving and why they're doing what they're doing. And I think Commissioner Dos Reis really kind of got in and looked at the nuts and bolts, the inner working of each of the passage changes. I think what I'm looking for at this point is, do we have consensus that we go forward with the seven-page charter commission version of the charter with the comments and annotation? I think that's what we need to discuss. My one concern about adding the comments is where we add them, because I don't want to, one of the things, values I think in the seven-page charter is it's just seven pages. And I like to be able to hold it up and say, it's just seven pages. You know, it's just a short, but very well-written and very functional document. And I don't want to do something where the comments, you know, undercut that. But, you know, well, you say it's seven pages, but it's 53 pages when we look at all the comments or whatever it winds up in.
I kind of like the idea of just giving them two things. It's like, here's a seven-page thing, and if you want legislative history, here are the comments.
I mean, if the letter is going to reflect some of these comments and give the reasoning and rationale and justification behind it, I mean, a well-written, you know, letter that's fairly succinct, because some of these comments are duplicated in more than one place, you might even be able to accomplish that in the body of the letter and then submit only the seven page and not give them a red line. I think make the red line available if somebody wants to see, but I think the merit of the seven pages is that it's a better document, and if someone's disappointed that something's missing, that individual's going to know what it is.
Susan, will the red line be available online to people who would like to see it?
It is. Okay. It is already, because it's part of the...
The record.
The minutes.
Right.
You have to show it, so...
Okay. So, I mean, I think that we have something that, you know, for the two dozen people who are really waltz about this thing, they can really get into the meat of it. But when we... I think Commissioner Rambo is right that, you know, Jake comes in and says, this thing is seven pages, and half of it is stuff that... Our city council says we have to have in there. I think that's a strong point. And so I think that we say, listen, here's seven pages. We have an annotated strikeout version available for online to see what the changes, if people really want to get into the nuts and bolts of the changes. You know, and that way people can see the hard work that Commissioner Dos Reis has done. But I think that it just as a selling tool, saying, listen, this is only seven pages, here it is, it's powerful. And I think that that's probably the way we should go. And if people want to see the nuts and bolts, just direct them to the website.
Are there any other comments?
I agree with Commissioner Johnson, because I really feel strongly about the idea of giving them what they asked for, and that was a written charter. And having available the comments, that's great, but having us turn in a finished product of the chart.
Anyone else? I think, do we have clear consensus then on going forward? Is it clear to you, Commissioner Dos Reis?
So,
why don't you recite what you think you're going to do?
So we'll submit the file, we'll submit our version, the short version. That's our product, unannotated.
My thinking is that... Right, the chairman will submit his letter, and I think he's going to reference the comments in the letter. But I think the comments will be valuable. My recommendation is that everyone bring the yellow copy with them next Wednesday night, so that you have it available to you, and you can comment when you're asked questions during the meeting, you can comment on it. But I think that's the direction. Does anyone else have any different ideas? All right. At this point, I'll open it up to public comment on 4.1. Does anyone wish to address the commission on issue 4.1?
Lot of mentions that...
What was your name, sir?
Norman Yamaguchi. A lot of mentions been made about the letter that Chairman Al was going to be doing. Will we need the public to be able to see it?
Yeah, that letter will be submitted to the council. It'll be a public record. I'm assuming it'll be part of their...
It should be part of the agenda packet, which will be available Friday afternoon. If it's submitted in time to go out, it's certainly...
I think the chairman has a pretty good relationship with the press. I'm sure he'll probably, Cody, if you ask him, I'm sure he'll be glad to forward you a copy to run as a citizen.
Okay. And just to throw in my two cents, I do agree with you that from a public standpoint, simple is better. Annotated, and you get that in the, when you do the political proposition, you see that multi-annotated pages. How many people actually really look at that? A lot of words. I mean,
you got a few lawyers up here. So.
But in reality, if you just look at a public document that we're supposed to be voting on, you want to keep that simple and clean as possible. And people are on the annotated web, look it up on the website. But in terms of what you present to the public, I highly recommend you go with the clean version.
All right. Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Any further action needed on 4.1?
I'd just like to say, since we're discussing this and the cleanliness and the shortness and all that, I seem to disagree. I've disagreed for 2 years, and I still disagree. I think that we're assuming that people are ignorant and they can't understand. This is a legal document. It's not going to be fun to read. It's not going to be exciting. It's supposed to be something that carries the city. And I think that by dumbing it down and making it simple and making it short and making it all of that stuff kind of takes away from it, if you will, to an extent. And I agree, a lot of the stuff that we took out at the last meeting was good to take out. But there is some stuff that I believe is still missing, and I think we've gone to shorten this thing down. And I believe that the people can understand what's going on. They don't need it to be so simplified that, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I just think that it could have been a little bit longer. I think we could have, I think the public works needed something in there. But I was alone on that, so. But I just want to put that in the minutes, and I thank you for letting me know.
And obviously, there's some deep philosophical differences up here, and they're not necessarily going to be resolved. And that's ultimately why you have to just cast a vote. I did want to, on one thing, just to ask the city attorney, and then I'll get to Commissioners Martin and Dos Reis. From your perspective as the city's legal advisor and the commission's legal advisor, do you see any legal defect that we need to be concerned about, either deficiency or defect in the document as it's now, the 7-page version as it's now written, or in the 21-page, since we probably need to look at that too?
I haven't done a little sit down and look through it, but just the cursory review that I did, I don't see any major thinking holes. It leaves a lot to future discussion in the council to adopt ordinances consistent with it. It essentially retains the power that a charter city would have for future action.
Based on your experience, you've obviously worked for some pretty significant municipalities. Is this consistent with what charter cities do when they become charter cities in terms of their document?
every city who decides to become a charter city is different, but given our size, it is not that outside of the realm of what you can see. I think that the city of Vista has a pretty slim downward from the charter, much like what we're talking about. There's a pretty quiet on a lot of subjects. Because what this was really looking at, quite frankly, is the ability to not have to pay the bill away from the public work project, which is why you're involved in litigation with the Board of Health and Street Court.
And that's what we'll be up against possibly too, by doing what we've done.
Actually, what happened in this was they adopted an affirmative ordinance and said, we're not going to pay wages. I think that the Vista case will be decided long before we would ever get sued on this charter.
Couple questions I asked.
I told Commissioner Martin and Commissioner Gosford, sorry, I did want to ask before I go to that, do we know if this has been set for oral argument yet?
I have not received any. I've signed up for alerts from the court's website, and I have not received anything. And Mary, you seem pretty good about sending those notes quickly if there's a change to the docket.
Commissioner Martin.
I wanted to go back to, I know we talked about the submission of the charter itself. This agenda item, though, is also the content and format of the final report. So I just want to understand that the final report will be the charter and the cover letter.
Along with the notes is like an endnote type of document.
Okay. Because when we're talking about, I still don't understand what that is. I mean, that's what this agenda item is about. So, we're talking in the abstract about something.
It'll be the letter that Chairman Allen's drafting, and that's going to go out under his signature. It'll be the 7-page document, and then the comments that are in the comment column right now will be done as an endnote format. Is that what we agreed on, Commissioner Dostries, or is it just this document itself will be available on the website?
I
thought it was going to be a part of the body of the letter. I would think that if we're going to do endnote, we have to go through and put the endnotes actually in the text of the charter. So if we do that versus, say, an attachment to Chairman Allen's letter, and he can reference the section by section number, then we don't need to go through the document itself and add the endnotes.
Here's what I'm going to suggest, is that the final report look as follows. Chairman Allen's letter, the 7-page recommended draft charter, and then the annotated. And Chairman Allen will explain the two documents in his letter. And so it would be a 3-part document.
Okay.
But the annotated shortened version, not the annotated red line, or do we want the annotated red line?
I'm suggesting, because we're up against a clock, let's just take the yellow as it exists and attach it behind the 7-page unannotated. So if you're looking at what you've got in front of you, imagine Chairman Allen's letter on top, the 7-page document, the yellow document, and that's what goes to the council.
I thought we had agreed not to give them the yellow ball, and if someone wanted to see the yellow, to go on the website.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's my confusion, because we keep going back to the format of the charter itself, but I'm looking at this as final report. What will that look like, and what will it include?
Let's settle the issue right now. What I want to do is just to get a poll of consensus. Include the yellow yes or no. I'm assuming we're all in agreement. The 7-page, our draft version of the charter needs to go.
Right, and the letter.
And the letter. Do we include the yellow? Jimmy?
My vote is no.
Okay. Commissioner Martin? Commissioner Dosarice, I'll come back to you.
I say no with the caveat that the comments from the annotated version are somehow either in the body of the letter or exhibit to the letter.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a report without some of the information, and I'm just trying to really pinned down. We haven't seen that letter, so I'm not really sure the context, the content, descriptiveness, how brief is it, and that's where I'm kind of struggling with yes or no on the yellow. I mean, if
I think Commissioner Dos Reis's idea is the middle ground. The consensus, Commissioner Lopez.
Okay, run that by.
What we're going to do is he's going to actually, Commissioner Dos Reis, explain.
We'll submit the shortened version, the 7-page, our version, along with Chairman Allen's letter. Attached as an exhibit to Chairman Allen's letter will be the contents of the comments portion.
Comments only.
Comments only.
Okay.
With the section that they're referring to.
And it will be clear that the council has received a charter, a written charter, and explained. Because if we have this issue going on here, I want to make sure that the council will be told, this is the charter, these are the comments,
right.
And here's the letter.
This is the only charter you'll get.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Rusty?
I agree with that. Has anybody seen the letter?
No.
Is it done?
No. And that's why it's going to go out under his signature as the chairman, because we're out of time.
Is he going to is it going to be a separate side letter with the notes, or is it going to be added into the body?
It's going to be the letter, the 7-page charter, the notes. The notes will be a third document. It'll be a 3-document package.
And not incorporated into the body of the letter.
Included the letter. Yeah, I think it should be part of the letter. There's two documents, the letter.
Oh boy.
The letter and the 7-page document and the notes that Dos Reis is somehow incorporated into that letter.
I like that idea, and if we had 2 weeks or if we had a quorum last week, I'd buy off on it. This is due tomorrow. And the chairman, I just know because just talking to him this evening, he's under considerable deadlines on some other issues. He's trying to get this done. And I think we have to, at some point, let's not let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
I apologize. I didn't know it had to be done tomorrow. I thought we had a couple days.
We have to submit this tomorrow.
Okay.
I can give you
a question. Couldn't you do Exhibit 2? Because I have to cut and paste out of this. I mean, I think this is great, but if people want shorter, then you pull out the notes, tie it to the number, and email that to him so he can finish the letter. In the letter, it says, here is the charter, and attached is an exhibit of the comments. I mean, otherwise it's not a report. I mean,
maybe we can settle on this, because I think ultimately the people who are trying to put this together at the last minute may need some flexibility from us. Can we agree that Commissioner Dos Reis will take the comments out of the comments out of the yellow document, and he'll create a document of just the comments. That will be provided to the chairman, and the chairman will either integrate, it will be an and or, he will integrate those comments into his letter, or he will include them as an attachment. But in some way, the comments, the 7-page charter, and the letter will go to the council.
That's fine.
Is there any concern with that? Can we move forward on that idea? All right. All right. So moved. Well, do we need a motion? We're going to kind of move forward on consensus. I think we have consensus.
I think we need to have a motion on how it's going to be done. There needs to be some record of...
I move that the final report contain 3 documents. 2 or 3 documents. And the fact that it will have a letter from Chairman Allen. It will have the 7-page document. It will have the 7-page charter. And then it will have a 3rd page of comments produced by Commissioner Dos Reis. Or the letter of Chairman Allen will incorporate those changes. That's my motion.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? All right, in the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. All right, moving on. Item 4.2, review and update draft charter language. Before we get into any discussion, I have some questions for the city attorney. The first is, you had mentioned a couple weeks back you were conducting a survey of your fellow city attorneys regarding this issue of prevailing wage and its appearance in charter language. Wondered if you've gotten any additional information since the last time that came up.
I have had several conversations almost universally. There is nothing in the charter that talks about prevailing wages. There's a set limit to public works contracts. In most cases, they are ordinances that are adopted after.
So would it be fair to say that the City of Vista situation is unique and that they did have something regarding prevailing wage in it?
No, it's pretty standard as to how the rule. Most places are either silent, or if they have anything, it is not in the charter itself, but in the ordinances.
And was that the case? I can't remember at this point. Was the City of Vista, was it in the charter? Was
no,
it was an ordinance?
It was in an ordinance.
Okay.
That they adopted pursuant to their charter city pact.
Okay.
I know that there was a document that was prepared by a BIA, Building Industry Association type group in California, but they confused different issues when they issued their report. Because they showed a number of cities as, oh yeah, we were required to prevailing wages. Well, what they had done was they had received, say, a copy of a contract that required to pay prevailing wages. Well, that may be because they used federal funds or other funds that require the payment of prevailing wages. It didn't address the specific question related to, on a general public works project without federal funding, can the city, or did the city require prevailing wages? The City of Fresno, for example, has sort of a hybrid approach. I mean, but by and large, it's not in the charter, it is in ordinance or
something. I know I had asked it quickly, so I don't know if you had a chance to get to it, but there had been some conversation that the state legislature had passed a law regarding design, bid, build, or allowing cities to have more flexibility in the way they do their bidding process. Do you have any information on that legislation? Okay.
Could you also then address, apparently there was something in the local press today that discussed living wage. Could you briefly, I know this has been done before, could you briefly summarize the difference between living wage and prevailing wage?
Briefly.
If I can. generally, the prevailing wage has a specific legal meaning, and it refers to a wage that is based on a number of factors, including what collective bargaining agreements or union-type agreements have been entered into within sort of the location. And it then is sort of to make sure, according to the Vista Court, to make sure that union contractors are competitive in their ability to bid a contract. That was the underlying reason for the prevailing wage rules when they were originally adopted. A living wage is something different. What that is it looks at an area and says, in order to be able to live and work in this community, you have to make a certain amount of money. And what the living wage tries to do is to guarantee that you can live and work in your same location. And that's a slightly different issue than are you maintaining competitiveness in the bidding process. If you look at a city like Hayward or Oakland, they have living wages that apply anytime the city contracts, not just with public works contracts. So one of the leading cases has to do with uniform cleaning, which is not a public work.
And I'm going to defer to Commissioner Moreski because he is kind of the voice on the prevailing, in favor of prevailing wage. If I understand correctly, no one has ever asked for a living wage in this charter. Is that correct, Commissioner? I was hoping to say you didn't want to see us do living wage because that gets to be a big mess.
Nobody ever asked for it.
Right. So I don't know where this living wage idea came up, but I wanted to address that.
Can I ask a quick question? You said that living wages typically deals with more than just public works projects. Is there anywhere in the state or that you know where prevailing wage deals with more than just public works projects, or is it specifically just public works that typically prevailing wage
That is primarily a public works requirement. It's Davis-Bacon-White, which is the federal
act. Okay.
I know that there was some law enforcement agencies called it a prevailing wage type provision in their contracts, but it was more of a, they did a survey of law enforcement agencies in a region, and then salaries were based upon surveys rather than based upon set payment. But that really isn't prevailing wage. Some contracts called it that.
Prevailing wage is a term of art used in specific provisions of the labor code as well as in Davis Bacon.
And I believe, so, like what you're saying, I believe some people use it liberally. For instance, Sacramento City, the people that fill potholes make a good wage. Not necessarily a prevailing wage, but they will call it a prevailing wage, even though they work for the city, if you will.
And the issue here, to be clear, is if the community were to adopt the Charter Commission's version of the charter, prevailing wage as required by state law would continue to be required until the city council, unless and until the city council enacted an ordinance in any way changing that. The only thing this charter would change is we give the city council, as opposed to the state legislature, the authority to set prevailing wage. And one of the things we heard in our research was that in recent years, there have been a lot of legislative actions done to manipulate the calculation of the prevailing wage to inflate the amount of money paid under the prevailing wage to the point where some economists argue it's not a prevailing wage, but rather it exceeds the prevailing wage. But in any event, that was the motivation. I know that some who voted in favor of removing the language from the charter support a prevailing wage ordinance that just changes the formulas used, that allows, even Commissioner Moresky has been outspoken in his support of allowing volunteer labor on projects and allowing, charitable organizations to be exempted. And those are things that are not allowed under state law. And I think those were the concerns motivating the majority of the folks here going forward. Now, what I'd like to do is, this is kind of the one last shot. Does anyone have any concerns that they'd like to address, drafting or otherwise, in the seven-page Charter Commission charter? I'm just going to go down the line. I'll start with Commissioner Johnson.
No.
Commissioner Martin?
No.
Commissioner Dostreza?
No.
Commissioner Davis-Lopez?
No.
Commissioner Moresky? You can make a motion. and beyond just the issues that you've gone over before, is anything else you wanted to... This kind of gives everybody one last chop at this tree.
I'm a little concerned. I've talked to some folks in the rural areas since our last meeting, and it seems that the general plan will kind of not be as effective or effective at all if the charter goes through, and there's a lot of concern in the rural area that what they have will be broken down, there's nothing in here. There's a lot of work that went into the general plan, and now they have to redo is the concern. And also with the taxation and fees, along with the prevailing wage, obviously.
And, I've heard those concerns, too, and I know Leo's here. He's kind of one of them rural folk. One of the things that's come up is this general plan issue, and the city attorney had made some comments, and I did some research myself. It strikes me that the real problem here was when we were looking for something that was pre-drafted and authoritative on what is the difference between general law and charter, we went to that League of California Cities document, and frankly, going back and looking at it now that we know a whole lot more, there's some errors in that document, or misstates or exaggerates things, like on general plans. They make it sound like, well, your general plan becomes meaningless if you become a charter city. Well, no, the way in which a general plan can change exists under general law or charter. It's just not explicitly spelled out the same way under both. The other issue is taxation. You know, I would still like to address, and it was going to be what I brought up, a single one-line prohibition on the city having any taxing authority that would prohibit the city from assessing any revenue collection that a general law city can't collect. To me, it's kind of a no-brainer because it's saying status quo on taxation. I understand, my original language, the city attorney convinced me there are some issues with it because in this state, one thing that cities, legislatures, and business groups, et cetera, are really good at is redefining a revenue collection vehicle to try and change the name. That's why we have not just taxes, but fees, assessments, bills, weight, you know, everything else. And I think if they could get away with calling it a hostess Twinkie, they would, to get around some of the general law restrictions. I think we're at the 11th hour, and we just don't. I'd like to go forward on language like that, but I don't want to go forward on language that causes more problems than it solves. And I think the city attorney still has expressed to me some concerns about that language. If we just limited it, if the language were to read, the city shall have no revenue collection authority beyond that of a general law city.
What are some of the concerns of the city attorney on that provision?
Well, again, you don't know what's going to come down the pike later on. I don't think that any of us foresaw the subsequent expansion of Melrose. There are already significant constitutional protections under Article 13 of the Constitution, which embodies both the original Prop 13 from 1978, as well as Prop 218. The problem is that you will hamstring the city in being able to creatively address issues that the public wants to address if you do this.
But I'm speaking not so much policy, but legally. You know, I know there's concerns about definitions of taxes and blah, whatever, but to the extent where it just says, and I'm speaking legally, not policy now, what Vice Chair Rambo said to the effect of, you know, the city council can't do anything that general law cities can't do, legally, are there any issues with such language?
No, but I don't know why that's not already covered in the general provisions that we have in there that we have the right to use whatever.
Well, no, that I understand.
So you're saying that you want to have it as a limitation.
I think what came up is, and again, it goes back to that League of California Cities document that had this concept of a property transfer tax. And it showed up in there and said that cities, charter cities can impose them. General law cities can't. And I think at first blush, a lot of people saw that and said, well, wait a second, now the city can raise our taxes. But if I recall correctly, under 218 and Prop 13, property transfer tax is not going to be imposed. If it's going to be called a tax, and it's actually a tax, it can't be imposed without a vote of the public anyway.
No, I understand that, but I think we do have a political issue in which there is that document out there. And for those people who may oppose this charter for other reasons, will really latch on to that and use fear-mongering, and you know, and us trying to say, well, no, it's in this, you know, it's in the penumbra of this provision of this, that, whereas if we have something explicit saying the city council cannot use any revenue generated that a general law city cannot, and, you know, the city council can't do things with general plans that a general city cannot, I think that assuage a number of the concerns politically. Not that it's not already in there, but have something black and white explicitly saying that, I think that would go a long way to assuaging a lot of the concerns that are out there and would help this charter pass, which in the end of the run is, it's not so much, you know, did we do a technically sufficient job, but did we do a charter that people are going to feel comfortable with?
Well, you know, Commissioner Johnson, I think I proposed about 8 months ago that we just take the language of Prop 218 and drop it into the charter just in case. I'm on the fence because I understand the city attorney's concerns and this ever-evolving concept of revenue collection and how it works. But I also, you know, I think if the citizens are faced with, I can have the general law or, you know, the charter, and if they're hung up on the issue of taxes, can't we say to them, well, we're going to take that taxes issue off the table by saying, regardless of what happens, it's the same deal?
Yep.
Mr. Lopez?
Because we're at the end, I want to go back to the beginning. items that we were tasked for were like A through H. Revenue collection was not one of them. And so, because of the issue, I mean, here we are at the 11th hour and we're trying to come up with something that will fit, I'd rather leave it out because I can say we addressed item A through, I think it was H, in the original task of the commission. And I think we should let it lie there and let the council figure out revenue collections.
Sure. Also, these changes that we made to shorten this down to 7 pages, they weren't, we didn't shorten just for the sake of brevity alone. A lot of the items that we cut out specifically for prevailing wages because there were contentious issues, and we did not want the charter to fail simply because someone was for or against that particular issue. So having a shortened charter and giving the authority ultimately later to the city council to, if they want to have prevailing wages, they can, and then they can suffer the ire of the public if the citizens as a whole don't want it or wanted a specific one and the city council didn't give it to them. That's the political process unfolding in front of you. But for the charter purpose of the charter, the less contentious items that are in here, the more likely you'll have support.
But in the public outreach I've received, there is no contention about the taxes issue. There isn't a sign saying, yeah, we want the city council to be able to do taxes and the general less is. It's a one-sided issue. And because it's a one-sided issue, and because, you know, there's nothing explicitly saying black and white, we're on your side and we're here for you, I'm just saying, if we don't have something that says, this city, you know, this city council can't do anything that general city cannot do in regards to taxes, I think you're going to see a lot of people latch onto that and saying, hey, this is just a charter that's going to let the city council raise your taxes, period. And you, I mean, the political flyer writes itself.
Yeah. I think there's some truth to that. I don't know. There's also a very solid response, which is, no, that's in the state constitution. And none of those laws change just by chartering. I mean, I think there's a good response. I think there's some merit in the argument. I am philosophically 100% aligned with Commissioner Johnson. I am practically 100% aligned with Commissioner Lopez. I would note our original mandate did tell us to go out and find out what the people want and include anything else that's appropriate. But so I don't think it's a mandate issue, but I do think it is. You know, it's the 11th hour. Do we add it now?
I think it's an important enough issue, and it's one that we've heard. It's not something we just, hey, one person mentioned this the other day. I mean, this is something that comes up over and over and over again about this value transfer, whatever it is, tax. And it's because of that. It's because of that document that's out there from the League of Cities, or I can't remember who it is, but I mean, it always comes up in every single public outreach we do. Where there is concern.
From a logistics standpoint, can we even change it? We can't change it and approve it before the deadline tomorrow, so...
Well, that's not true. It's agenda right now. It's agenda, so we can change it right now.
But we'd have to come up with language right now.
Yeah.
And see the approved language.
Why isn't that something that can be addressed in the LAO's presentation of this document to point out that the Constitution provides certain protections for those folks who don't know it and who are fearful?
Well, I think that's exactly how it's going to be. Will probably be handled as, you know, you do the argument for, the argument opposed, and then you get the rebuttal arguments. And if someone wants to raise the taxes, then the proponents of the charter are going to put that in as a rebuttal. So it definitely can be addressed that way.
Yeah, but to say that it's in the penumbra of some provision as opposed to here it is black and white, I mean, people are going to be concerned. It's like, oh, well, one lawyer said this, one lawyer said that. Who knows what it is? I'd rather have the devil I know than the devil I don't.
Let me suggest this. Let's just shelve this for a second, not table, but shelve this particular discussion. Is there anything else with the draft charter? Then I'm going to open it up to public comment, hear the public comment, and then we'll take one last swipe at the issue.
I think a similar provision should probably be done for about general plan amendments, because that's another issue. in which people are very much concerned. And it's just a one-sentence deal. The city cannot do anything with general plans that the general law city cannot. Period.
And I think that would be something that for the prevailing wages also.
To try.
We're going back to the original big, long document.
To try.
We're using a charter to limit the city's authority to general law. So the obvious question is, why have a charter?
Because we have that authority now. We have the general law authority and restriction now, so why bother with the charter?
Because there are a number of areas in which we want to expand, but there are some areas that we don't want to expand.
I would oppose that idea. While I appreciate the idea, the vein in which it's offered, I'm worried about the flip side, where we want to appeal to those who really are concerned about the general law. The flip side is, Leo and I had a good discussion, and I think it's obviously not going to make this charter, but that concept that came up could well be a ballot measure, the first ballot measure after this charter is adopted, a rural protection kind of idea. If this charter is limited to the general law, the council could, by ordinance, adopt something to that effect. And if this council's charter is limited to the general law, it may hamstring the county's the city's ability to tighten up general plans. What concerns me is I don't want to get into the general plan, and we have one former planning commissioner here. That's a complex area, and to get into it on the last night, at the last minute, without really no forewarning to our legal advisor, I think is too much to bite off.
Oh, I can tell you everything you want to know.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Should we buy some pizzas and let you...
Here's the issue. This is the issue in a nutshell of charters and the general plan. And the general proposition under California planning and zoning law, when a general law city takes any subsequent land use approval, specific plan, rezone, anything like that, there has to be a finding of consistency with the general plan. As a charter city, you don't have to make that finding. That's it. So it doesn't change the general plan. It doesn't, in fact, the way that you adopt a general plan is the same with a charter city or a general law city. It's just that it breaks that connection between a finding of consistency under subsequent land use activities and what you're currently, your general plan does.
And if I understand correctly, the finding of consistency is exactly that, a council voting and saying we find it's consistent.
Right.
So it's a feel-good,
oh, no.
Do-little.
Well...
Technically, I guess you could be sued.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah. Okay. They're sued all the time.
They tend not to get sued on that part of it. There's usually some bigger issue. It's usually a big CEQA lawsuit, the California Environmental Quality Act, but you still have to meet if you're a charter city. What will happen if you try to add a planning component to the charter is that will then change the CEQA analysis that we've done for the charter right now. Right now it's exempt because we're not touching land use. And so there are no foreseeable impacts on the environment on the basis of adopting the charter. If we start getting into the planning and zoning end of things, then we have to do a different environmental document, and I don't know what that looks like right now.
What's the cost of the CEQA document to the city?
I did it. I just checked the box.
If we have to do one. So remember, it almost stopped incorporation, the cost of the document.
I don't know. Because I don't know what it's going
to
be.
Even if we were to say that they have to be consistent with general law, you'd have
you
to
still
do
have that then affects... If you're talking about the general plan, if you do
right.
With planning or zoning, then that's a whole different analysis for CEQA. And that affects not just the budget, it affects time. Because if we're doing anything other than a notice of exemption, we have to circulate that document for a minimum of 30 days, maybe 45, et cetera, et cetera.
So there's no way we get on the June ballot if we did it?
Okay, well,
then
now I think I want to.
Then we can't do it.
No. Given the time frame that we're on right now, I would feel more comfortable that in Jay Commissioner Allen's final letter that he addressed the issue that because we have now been set to this time frame. There's still some issues out there that this commission thinks should be added, maybe in a recommendation that way versus trying to come up with something. Here it is now, 7:10. We're running out of time.
The city council's not going to have any more time than we are right now. I guarantee you they're not going to do this.
Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but, you know, here we are trying to add something at the 11th hour, and
we've seen what the city council does. They put it at midnight, and they give us 5 minutes. I mean, the idea that, you know, they're going to be, you know, they're going to have more time to really think this out and argue it out.
But ultimately, they're the ones that are going to be accountable when it is put to the ballot.
Let's do with this what we did with the previous item, and we'll take public comment, and then at the after public comment, I'll entertain motions. Okay? Any other items to add? All right. At this point, I'll open up to public comment. I have one speaker, Norman Yamaguchi.
I was talking about section 3.02. The first time I really had a chance to read the charter, well, I was waiting for a meeting to start. I got to tell you, for the most part, I like what is written, but when I go to 3.02, it's so brief, it's almost jarring. Basically, it just says the commission's going to recommend to the council the districts, and that's it. No. What the council is supposed to do, it's supposed to be majority votes, majority votes. I mean, it's just there. There's almost no direction. It's so brief.
Yeah, part of that was originally a fairly lengthy portion of the charter.
Yeah.
We ran into a lot of complaints about it from the council and the community. What we've tried to do is basically say the council has to create something, and then they get to decide how to create it.
Okay.
Without getting too specific. But the idea is that they will be required to use some form of independent redistricting process.
Okay, but there's almost no guidance there. I mean, there's no, I mean, what are they supposed to do? They could just literally just throw darts at the board. That's one, this is two, this is three.
There's the Federal Voting Rights Act, and then there's significant state law that we can't do anything to manipulate. We can't divert from it at all. So that's the guidance. And in fact, our language on specifically what the boundaries would look like was pretty much directing the city to follow those acts to the T.
Okay. Well, I was gonna say, from my standpoint, when I was reading, it's just those words jarring. But if that's the way this is going to be in this short hour, I would recommend, because it helps stop the jarring thing, is that, quote, here and after commission, did that make me assume that there's more to this document in the paragraph where it says the commission on city districts, comma, here and after commission. That usually assumes that there's going to be more to the text that refers to the commission.
That's a good point.
I think you got a good point.
That's a very good point.
But if you get rid of that, at least then you don't have to assume that there's more to this document.
No, you're absolutely correct on that.
Okay, that was it. Thank you.
Any other public comment? We said general plan, and Leo didn't jump up.
You've addressed it well, but you can.
Thank you, Leo. All right, seeing no further public comment, I'll close public comment. At this point, I'm willing to entertain any motions on amendment to the charter. I'm going to make a motion that under 3.02, we delete the words here and after commission.
Well, the comma after districts as well.
The comma after districts up through, so that we will just read without anything in between districts whose function.
Yeah, so to spell it out, it would say, there shall be established an independent commission of city districts whose function shall be to recommend to the council the district from which council members shall be elected, period.
Okay. So I made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? All right, seeing no extensions in opposition, the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. Any other motions related to amendments or changes to the draft charter, commission charter?
I move that we add a new article or slash section addressing that the city will not institute any taxes on which a general law city cannot.
Do you have specific language for...
Well, no, the first motion would be just that we're
So the motion is the idea and concept to be drafted after we pass the motion?
Yes.
All right. Is there a second for Commissioner Johnson's motion? All right. The motion dies for lack of a second. Are there any other motions? All right. This is what I'd like to do at this point. We've referred to this document repeatedly as the draft Charter Commission Charter. I want to drop the concept of draft and one last time tonight put a stamp in it that this is what we believe in. So what I'm going to ask for a roll call, yay or nay, on the 7-page version of the charter as amended tonight. Is this the document that you want to see the council and thereby the citizens of Elk Grove adopt?
Yeah.
Let's allow the clerk to call the roll. This is a momentous moment in the city, potentially. So.
Commissioners Johnson.
Should I do what the city council does and speak for 20 minutes and then go?
Yeah.
I've actually got that plan for later.
Okay.
Yes, you might be about. Sorry.
Martin.
Yes.
Doth Reese.
Yes.
Sandoval Lopez.
Yes.
Maruski.
No.
That's Chair Rambo.
Yes. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Charter Commission has adopted a charter which we recommend passage of. It's 2 years worth of work. And I want to say, Commissioner Maruski, I appreciate your, you have done more to convince me on an issue that I don't know that I ever could have been fully convinced on. You have gallantly and I think very well and faithfully represented your cause. I think everyone here, regardless of where they stand on prevailing wage, has much more understanding and appreciation of the issue. And I can tell you, I know you persuaded some of the commissioners that in the event the council ever considers an ordinance to amend it, you'll probably have people standing side by side with you to draft at least a compromise. And, you know, I think you're to be commended for fighting the good fight.
Thank you very much. It's been a fight.
You know, and stereotypes and all that aside, the guys who are in unions, I mean, you break the stereotype. And I think I've appreciated your involvement in the process. Let's move on to item 4.3, discussion regarding further Charter Commission activity, efforts, and possible action as deemed appropriate. As of now, our mandate ends January 13th, 2009. Now, it seems like every time we go in front of the City Council, something else changes, and who knows what will happen now. I know that there's already, I'm told there's a group that's going to be lobbying pretty heavily that they want our mandate extended and they want the charter kicked forward to November. I doubt that that's going to go anywhere, but I wish them the best. Maybe they could find seven more commissioners to get involved. I think this is an appropriate time if we're going to talk about activity. I was going to do some of this under general announcements, but I think this is as good a time ever. I'd like to start with Vicki Grenz from Hoyt Company and your predecessor and Wendy and everyone at the company. There's a lot that could be said, and I want to allow anyone else to weigh in, but thank you. You guys worked without a contract and with a lot of uncertainty. You put up with a lot of complexity, difficulty, drama, long nights. You guys were there with us to a lot of midnight meetings here in front of us and here in front of the council. There's obviously been a lot of mud thrown at the outreach process, but I don't think, I think, well, my position on it is pretty clear. You can watch YouTube if you're not sure. Apparently something's circulating on YouTube. Everybody in my office is seeing it. We've done a great job, and our great job on effort outreach has been because of the Hoyt Company. We wouldn't be here without your help. So I want to thank you and offer you and your colleagues a round of applause. Anyone have anything else for Vicki? All right. The next, I mean, if we're going to talk about activity, then we need to also thank a couple other people, and that is first Susan Blackstone, our city clerk, who has put up with a lot of calls from me trying to figure out where my missing certificates are and missed emails approving agendas and modifying agendas. And, you know, this is obviously, you have to do this for a lot of agencies and bodies within the city. And I appreciate your willingness to put up with our long meetings. You're always very patient with the commission, and you've been very helpful, both substantively and procedurally, with the commission, and I thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a privilege. This is really writing history, so it's been an honor. Thank you.
If you know, she said it's a privilege, not a privilege, and a pleasure.
anyone else? And then, obviously, we have relied a lot on our legal advisor, and Susan, and I've shared this with the city attorney. I said, you know, you all know where I started from. This city was, like, the first significant thing I ever did was being involved, publicly, was being involved in incorporation. And if I had to, I said this to Susan the other day, if I had to cast my idea back then of what a city attorney, how that office would function, because I was a law student, I was really into that sort of thing. Susan, you epitomize it for us, because has there ever been an issue where she didn't at least have some bit of information to help eliminate it? And you've been, while respectful and tactful, also very firm in making sure that we don't get off track and that we stick to the right thing. And I think you've been a partner to this commission, and this city will forever have it. You've left an indelible mark upon this community that I hope will be reflected in this commission, in this charter that's adopted. So, thank you.
Well, I would like to thank you. You have all kept me on my toes. I never knew what question was going to come after. And it has been both a privilege and a pleasure. And I look forward to continuing to work with you. I hope to be here for a long time, and I'm sure all of you will be as well. And my door is open, and you know how to call me, and you know where my kids go to school. Kid. But it has been something to watch this process. This to me is democracy in action. And I am through and through a small D Democrat.
And I want to thank Cody and Mr. Gowardy from Elk Grove News. It's outreach is a big issue, and the reality is you need the press. And I appreciate the coverage, favorable and sometimes unfavorable, but at least there's been coverage, and that's important, and it's helped the process. And of course, we got to thank Leo, because he comes and he keeps us company at every meeting. So thank you, Leo. Anyone else have anything on 4.3?
On outreach, I was just mentioning to Susan Blackstone that, of course, now a few places are calling back and asking for outreach. Stone Lake Association, Homeowners Association being one of them. So now that we are disbanding, or whatever the term is, to be forwarding any outreach requests to Susan, would that be the appropriate?
I think so.
Yes.
Forward them to Susan. And Hoyt Company's still on contract. I'm sure they can work with Susan. Vicki can go out there and represent the charter. Any other issues on outreach? At this point, I'll open item 4.3 to public comment. I don't see any public comment, so I will close public comment. And I want to move to general announcements. And this is an opportunity. I think this is it. So if anybody would like to share any comments, now would be your time. And then I'd like to let Leo offer his comments, because I appreciate what he has to say.
Well, I just wanted to. I think you folks deserve a lot of compliments. You put in a incredible amount of time. You've analyzed things in detail, and with the help of Susan, the two Susans, you've done an outstanding job. And I know there've been conflicts between you and the council members and things like that, but overall, you folks have done a heck of a job, and you need to know that. And I thank you for doing the work you've done.
Why don't I go down the line? And I'm going to start with the junior member. Because Jimmy wants to talk first.
Ouch. Well, I'd like to really thank all of you guys. You know, as being the last on, and it seems so short. But, you know, I've been around, and, you know, I appreciate all the work that has gone on and the long hours and everything, you know, that you guys have put into this. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate all the talks that I've had with a number of you, and, you know, a lot of the way I see things have changed through this whole process, and it's been a great learning process throughout. A little sad that it can't go on, to be honest with you, because there's more that I learn every day. And I just appreciate everything that I've learned from listening. You know, most of it's listening, but, you know, being able to comment and get feedback from the commissioners and has really changed my view on city politics. Thank you.
Commissioner Dustreese. All right. Commissioner Johnson.
You know, obviously it's been a pleasure and a privilege, vice versa, to be on the commission. Hopefully this is something that we'll get past in June, and it'll be something that lasts throughout the history of Elk Grove. I will say that as a final act of my commissionership, I think it's only fitting, seeing how some members of the city council are such fans of my attention to detail regarding commas and such, in the disclaimer on our agendas for the last year and a half, I've held my tongue, but now that it's the end and they can't do anything, because how you get kicked off somebody for the commission that doesn't last anymore. The second line where it says Government Code Section 65009, and there's no space there, and there hasn't been a space in like 2.5 years. And if these could be added, I would greatly appreciate it, because every city council meeting and every charter commission name that I go to, I notice that. So, like I said, I think it's only fitting that that be my final act as a commissioner, and I thank the city council and Councilman Cooper for putting me on this commission, and it has been a true pleasure to serve.
Commissioner Martin.
Well, I just want to say thank you, because this has been a very interesting process, and I just feel real fortunate to be a part of it. I mean, it's very eye-opening, and most of all, I appreciate the patience of those involved, because this was a rather daunting task, and I think that in our effort to be thorough, we sometimes got caught up in the details. However, I think the end product is a very good result, and for those who did observe, they know that a lot of heart went into this, and it was not something that was taken lightly, and for that I'm grateful to be a part of it.
Commissioner Lopez.
Wow. A lot of mixed feelings, a lot of gratitude to the city staff, the work company. You guys have been great, and you guys deserve Purple Hearts, because we did have long meetings, and there were three attorneys on this commission, so, you know, it went too long, but the process was really, really interesting. A lot of lessons learned, and a lot of great things that I think really will come out of this. And so I appreciate all my fellow commissioners. And, you know, now those late nights are a thing of the past. Hallelujah. So I appreciate people who came and showed up, who were very diligent about their involvement, and that's tremendous. my fellow commissioners. I've really enjoyed this whole process, and I think we all deserve Purple Hearts, too.
Someone who's not here who deserves a lot of accolades, and so I'm going to start with that, is our chairman. He has poured his heart and soul into this process, and I can recall talking to him a couple weeks before I went to Afghanistan way back when about how he was being roped into being on the exploratory commission, and he didn't really know what it was all about. He wasn't really into it, but hey, somebody has to do it. And to watch him become the chairman and to pour so much into it, and I think those of us who know Jake well know the intense personal sacrifice that he and his family have had to make in recent weeks, in part because of his commitment to this process. And he's held us together on nights when we needed to be held together. It's very unfortunate he couldn't be here tonight, and I know he's heartbroken about not missing the last meeting. But I want to tell you, it has been a real pleasure serving with you here. For me, this is the continuation of one of the best things that's happened in the last 15 years in this county, which was the creation of the City of Oak Grove, freeing us of, you know, the days when we had 4 sheriff's deputies available for the entire region. You know, this ranks up there with forming a police department for me. This is the last step in our natural progression towards independence. I won't pull out all of my history references that I've bored you with over the last 2.5 years, but this is about to become the ultimate exercise in democracy. Frankly, it's probably not the way it should be done to have elected officials make the final decision on what the rules that they're going to govern, live by, work, but it's the process that we've been given. And so now those elected officials will weigh in, but then it will be the people's document. And, you know, you go back in history to the United States Constitution, and the people did not like the document. But it was the effort of good and well-reasoned people engaging in a debate that was not personal, that was focused on the issues. Yeah, there was one duel, and one founding father got himself killed. But beyond that, they debated the issues. And to our credit as a commission, we've kept it focused on the issues. It's never been about politics. Not one person up here has, I think, received $1 in campaign contributions or one free lunch from anybody, contrary to what it might otherwise suggest.
We did get cookies.
We did get cookies from the city attorney once. And that was not the night we dealt with this at the office of the city attorney. But, you know, having caught my share of the mud thrown at us by everybody who likes to throw mud, I leave you with 2 ideas. The first is, you know, they say every poli-sci student has heard it. If you're a fan of good laws or good sausage, you don't ever want to see either being made, because they're not pretty processes. And it hasn't necessarily been pretty. But the other thing I'll remind you is a quote that Roosevelt was famous for. It talked about, you know, there's 2 kinds of people. There's the person who sits outside the arena and criticizes the man in the arena, but the person who is worthy of the recognition is the person on the floor, face down, covered in the mud, who has tried and failed in the arena and fought for what they believed in. And say what they will about this charter commission, we weighed in, we fought the fight, we did what we believed in. And if critics want to stand on the sideline and throw mud, I encourage them to do what those like Leo have done, which is watch this process. I'm proud to have served with each of you, and I'm proud of the document, and I hope to be proud of the final document, and I hope to be proud on the day that this charter takes action. With that, are there any other announcements? Then at this point, what I'd like to do is entertain a motion to adjourn, and I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn in honor of Richard Ibarra, who's a captain with the Oak Grove CSD Fire Department. I got to meet Richard once. His brother was in my Bible study group. He comes from an incredible family. And he died tragically and suddenly a couple weeks ago. It appears that his death was in the line of duty due to something that he picked up on the job. leaves behind a family and a really neat extended family, but also some young kids. So if there's a motion to adjourn with that understanding.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.